Hi everybody, and welcome to the Trauma and Mind Body Super Conference. I'm very excited to invite our latest guest for this episode. It's Jodi Sternoff-Cohen. Welcome, Jodi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So the audience knows, so Jodi is a best-selling author. She's an award-winning journalist. She's a functional health practitioner. She's also the founder of the Vibrant Blue Oils essential oils company, and she has worked with literally tens of thousands of clients over the years. So she's super clued up on a topic that is really important on this summit. For mental health, for health in all ways, we are going to talk about the vagus nerve. Yay! Important. We love the vagus nerve. It's such an important, the vagus nerve, the nerve of compassion. Jodi, share with us, what is the vagus nerve, why it's important?
The vagus nerve is important for a number of reasons, both physical and mental. It innervates almost every single organ in our body, and it really controls kind of our ability to be resilient. It is the on-off switch of our nervous system. So when there's a danger that threatens us, it moves us into that survival state, the fight or flight sympathetic state, where all of our blood flow and resources are kind of allocated to survival. So we can run really fast, we can hyper-focus on things, and then ideally the danger passes, and it's almost like changing lanes back into the parasympathetic, rest, digest, recover, heal, connect. And what happens so often, for a number of reasons that we'll talk about, is that you stay stuck in that survival state that's meant to be really an acute, short experience and not something that goes on for long periods of time, because then your system gets confused and it stops remembering to prioritize digesting and detoxifying and turning on your immune system, and the danger cells kind of keep signaling, and it can get stuck in that cell danger response where you, when you're in danger or you're sick, you need to kind of shut down. You need to be fatigued so you maybe don't move so much. You need to have pain so that you can stay immobilized. All of these things that are beneficial for short-term inflammation or recovery can stay around for too long, and you can present as symptoms like chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia or multiple chemical sensitivity that don't feel good. And one of the ways to shift into healing is to shift the gears of your nervous system so that you don't feel like you're in danger and you can actually feel safe and heal.
Okay, great. So just to make sure, just to clarify and make sure people get that, so the vagus nerve is the rest, digest, detoxify, breathe, and breed mode. That's the vagus nerve, and we want to switch that on to restore the body.
The parasympathetic state is the rest, digest, heal, breed, and the sympathetic state is the fight, flight, or heal. The vagus nerve is kind of the on-off switch between the two of them. If you think about a train that can shift gears, it's the vagus nerve. Activating the vagus nerve helps you activate that parasympathetic state. It's really the light switch between the two.
Great. Okay. Good to just clarify that. So the vagus nerve, tell us a bit more about how it's involved with detoxification.
Right. So if you think about your survival state, your body's going to prioritize just moving and leaving. Anything that's not critical in that moment turns off. And so your blood flow needs to go to your organs of detoxification, right? Your liver, your gallbladder, your gut, things need to keep moving through your system so that they leave your body. And all of that is really like second tier, my old boss used to call it Scarlett O'Hara-ing it, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. It doesn't happen right now. And so if you're not actually supporting these organs of elimination and giving them energy and blood flow, they're really not able to function as well. And the other thing that can happen, the vagus nerve, just anatomically, it starts at the back of the brainstem and runs along the side of the neck and then through all of these organs. The side of the neck, if you think about areas in your body where bottlenecks can occur, your neck has your lymph. It has your vagus nerve and other nerves, spinal cord and structural issues, and then your blood vessels. There's a lot going on in here, and they all kind of work together. So say, for example, your lymph is draining toxins from your mouth, cavitations, your sinuses, if you have mold, your tonsils, and say that that's a pretty heavy workload, it can get congested and compress into the vagus nerve and then compromise the vagus nerve's ability to signal. And this is something Dietrich Klinghart has done a lot of research on this. They actually were doing ultrasounds of the neck and seeing the lymph being congested and compressing on the vagus nerve, and then using things like essential oils to decongest the lymph, and noticing that the vagus signal and the vagus function was a lot better. He calls it vagus nerve toxicity. There's a researcher out of Tufts that calls it the vagus nerve infection hypothesis. But it's this idea that physical and mental stressors kind of both play into factors that can put you into that survival fear state, and then it's pretty hard to switch gears out of it. So as we're thinking about mental health, it's obviously our physical factors as well as our emotional factors that play into this.
Okay, great. So let's list some of the triggers of sort of vagus nerve toxicity that you're talking there. So you've mentioned the really important one you mentioned there was about cavitation. So mercury fillings, I guess silver amalgams would be one.
Amalgams, any kind of cavitations, even things like getting, you know, everyone gets their wisdom teeth removed, but there can be pockets of bacteria that are infected. There can be underlying gum issues that cause bacterial infections. Anything that's kind of happening under the surface of the jaw, root canals are a big one. You know, they just pull teeth out and leave kind of that pocket, and then it can get really infected. And so those are kind of under the surface, and you might not even feel them or notice them, but this problem is building up, you know, a little bit like an iceberg before it actually comes above the surface. There's a lot of ice underneath. And these all drain along your trigeminal nerve. And your trigeminal nerve and your vagus nerve, it's like an intersection, right? And so these are draining, and maybe they're congested. The lymph is congested, so they're stuck there. And nerves have a really high affinity for toxins. And so they get into the nerve, and then it becomes this kind of low-grade infection that's telling the immune system, you know, we're in stress, we're in stress. And you might not even feel sick. It could be very under the radar, but your body knows that you're sick. And so your body is switching into that cell danger response of let's immobilize you, let's fatigue you. And under the surface, you're just getting more tired and feeling more pain, and it's harder and harder to function. And you don't even realize that this is kind of one of the root causes. And if you can heal that, you know, by topically applying essential oils or activating your vagus nerve and making it more active so it's less compressed and inflamed, then you're more likely to help switch your body into that healing state where the fatigue goes away, the pain is diminished, you feel like yourself again.
Great. So, yeah, so the vagus nerve, when you have high vagal tone, it's actually scientifically shown you feel good, you have more compassion for yourself and others, you feel socially connected. And it means your gut will be working well. It means all good and activated in the right way. Vagal tone is fab. So we talked about infections, mercury toxicity, chemicals, some other environmental things that like sort of non-organic food even. But let's talk about mold.
Yeah, mold is really complicated because it starts as an environmental issue, right? You might have mold in your house from water damage or a bathroom that has a bad fan, and then it gets in the sinuses and it becomes its own ecosystem. It starts to create its own kind of byproduct of mycotoxin. And so the challenge with mold is first you have to kind of eliminate, you know, what's going on in your home, but then you actually have to deal with the sinus passages, and that can take time. And it's all collecting in the sinuses and draining, you know, through the neck, and that's another bottleneck. So people don't realize that. They think, oh, yay, you know, I cleaned up the mold in my house. We're good. And they don't realize now they need to clean up the mold in their body.
So good, yeah. We've got people talking about mold because of this issue of the toxins the mold produced just get recycled in the fats.
Mitotoxins.
And they get recycled. And as you said, the nerves have this affinity with actually fat-soluble toxins. So that's how it's the toxins of the mold that will basically screw up your vagus nerve, right? So
yes.
Yeah, it's all these environmental things. I'm just thinking as well, okay, heavy metals, all that stuff, really important. So let's talk about how can we activate the vagus nerve? How can we get it online again?
There's so many ways, and I love that you talked about social connection, because that's another thing that happens when we're in that emergency response. Our pupils dilate. The black part gets really big, and that helps us make that next good decision. You know, all we need to think about is, where are we going to run? Or if we're fighting, how are we going to engage? We don't need to see the big term picture. And we don't necessarily need to connect to our loved ones. Like when my kids were really little, they used to say, connect before you correct. Like my son was pretty ornery and he would, you know, sometimes throw sand in the sandbox. And instead of yelling at him in that moment, I would scoop him up, move him over to a quiet place, really connect with him and watch the size of his pupil as it kind of shrunk. And when it was a normal size, I knew, okay, he's feeling safe. He can hear me. He can receive that feedback. And so even social connection is such a great way to activate your vagus nerve, to calm your system. Laughing is great, humming, singing. If you think about it, the nerve, it goes through all of your mouth and your jaw and all of your organs. So anything that you can do to activate those organs sends the message back up to the brain and to the vagus nerve. So deep breathing is really good. Meditation, yoga, anything you can do, like gargling activates your mouth. I said humming, you can use a tongue depressor to kind of gag yourself, having really good microbiome in the gut, either through probiotics or a highly diverse vegetable diet. Terry Walls recommends trying to do 200 different kinds of plants in a year. You know, even things that activate, like coffee enemas to activate the gallbladder and things like that. There are numerous ways. It's kind of pick your, you know, pick your ending, pick the one that feels the best for you. Essential oils can be really good. You can put essential oils just right behind your earlobe on the mastoid bone. Anything you can do to kind of rub that area, including like massaging your ears. You can use your tongue like a paintbrush and paint on the roof of your mouth. There's so many ways. It really is, you know, specific to what you enjoy.
So this is really good because we need this strong functioning vagal tone. All those things you said, they are sort of things that need to become a way of life. Exercise would do that as well. Electrical stimulation of the vagus nerve is possible with devices. And most psychology techniques that work, like EFT, EMDR, somatic experiences, all those kind of things will also trigger the vagus nerve. But to your point, I just want to bring this out for the audience. Those are things that need to be the lifestyle things, but they won't work if you have that underlying mold or that underlying heavy metal toxicity, or you're still having an environment around you that has the mold.
Well, I think right? They still work. Gratitude is another good one.
Yeah.
I think that actually if you, I don't want to discourage people, because if you are living in that moldy environment, you're going to need it even more. The more you can calm your own nervous system, like there are times, you know, in the world where we can't control our outside external circumstances, but we can control our response. So yes, remediate the mold and try to get the amalgams out of your mouth. And you can still tone your vagus nerve at the same time. And even if you're not able to do everything perfectly, that alone will make a very big difference, because it will determine how your body kind of processes the external input.
So it's a better way to say it is be concurrent. So that's what I encourage people to do, like a miracle morning of like do five different things that stimulate the vagus nerve, like get up, do gratitude journaling, 5 minutes of exercise, couple of minutes of breathing and meditation, put your essential oils on, get some bright sunlight. You've got six ways you've stimulated the vagus nerve in the morning immediately. So
exactly. And it's very empowering too.
Oh yes.
Like that's what I love, that Viktor Frankl quote, you know, between the stimulus and the response, there is a pause, and in that pause is where the power lies. And I think that people feel so disempowered sometimes, you know, like the external circumstances, they feel like they're a victim. And I really want them to know that you're not a victim. You can always do any of these things to activate your vagus nerve, and that gives you all the power to be resilient and to make choices.
Yes, exactly. That's great. And so let's talk just a few more things that are really interesting about the vagus nerve. One of the discoveries was about that when you stimulate the vagus nerve, it actually switches off inflammation. So they've done electrical stimulation of the vagus nerve and cured people with fibromyalgia, epilepsy. They've done it with depression and many autoimmune diseases. So there's a massive autoimmune connection. just so that people are aware. So if you've got that kind of autoimmune issue going on, but let's talk about something called the cell danger response. What's the connection?
Yes.
What's the connection? And what is the cell danger response as well? What is it?
So the cell danger response, which is, I almost feel like I'm stealing your thunder. This is so your core positioning. But it's this idea that the body is really trying to keep itself safe, right? It prioritizes survival. So when it thinks it's in danger, it kind of does the same thing. It shuts down certain functions and prioritizes other ones. And it's really sensitive to keeping itself safe. So there's this idea that kind of between the stimulus and the response, there's usually this kind of buffer. But when you're in danger, it goes here. So the slightest touch, you know, people that feel pain, you know, it could be hugging someone, all of a sudden they're in chronic pain, or bright sunlight. Really little stimulus sets them off because they're so perceptive of danger that and keeping themselves safe. It almost goes into overdrive, and everything feels like a threat. And so you really need to, it's almost like rebooting to factory settings, right? Your phone is glitching, you need to kind of reboot it back. And what you need to do is calm that hyperreactivity and really reset it. There is a theory that your amygdala, the part of your brain that senses danger, kind of gets hijacked or overwhelmed. And it's the frontal cortex. They're almost like partners in crime, you know, like good cop, bad cop. Like the amygdala, you're hiking in the woods, you see something, you think it's a snake, you start to react, and then your frontal cortex says, oh, no, that's just a stick, you're totally fine. So you really need good communication between these two areas of your brain. And that's one thing that vagus nerve stimulation does. It actually activates that prefrontal cortex, so it can be kind of like your checkpoint, so that you're not always overreacting. So it almost puts your body back in that, yes, it's aware of survival, but it's not responding to every emergency. It's got some discernment.
Awesome. So, and that's the interesting thing about this hyper response that you talked about, because what we're now learning about the stress response is that it's just everything, isn't it? So it's not only because you downregulate the vagus nerve when you're in the stress mode, your gut, you know, you're not going to be digesting as well. You're going to be more inflamed. You're going to be feeling more stress. You're going to be more emotionally triggered. You're going to have more blood sugar issues. The cascade of impacts. But specifically with the cell danger response, it also means that the cell is actually responding as well. And we didn't realize that literally we have how many trillions of cells in our bodies, and our bodies are set at the cellular level. The cell is listening to the brain and the vagus nerve going, am I under threat? And if the cell feels
yes.
under threat, the cell goes into defense mode at the cellular level. So it's not only do we go into sort of defense mode, but the cells are doing it too. So they turn off ATP production and go into, I call it like London during the Blitz. So we
yes.
everything goes and shut down. That's like what the cells like. It like everybody goes underground, this normal function.
Oh, yeah, I think Navarro said they switch from power plants to battleships.
That's exactly it. That's
yeah.
what the cell did. That's it. Beautiful. That's the analogy. So not only when we have low vagal tone, and it was beautiful because Dr. Robert Navio, who's the brilliant scientist who is the cell, who we all talk about, the cell danger response inventor, yes.
Yes.
Dr. Robert Navio, I think ex-president of the Mitochondrial Medicine Society, and he
yeah.
connected in. It was amazing to see in his papers where he connected in the vagus nerve with the cell danger response. So suddenly, you know, the brainstem stimulates the vagus nerve as well. So we have the brain, vagus nerve, and cell all now communicating. That is systems biology. So we
yes.
said that's the basis
yes.
of functional medicine, right? So
and early indicators that it's offline, or if you like, so the vagus nerve triggers the whole digestive cascade. So it tells the stomach to release hydrochloric acid to help break down your food. And like a really low-hanging fruit way to notice this, if you're constantly testing low for certain nutrients and you're supplementing, or if you have ridges on your nails, that's a really good way to say you might be eating the perfect diet, but you're not assimilating your nutrients. So that's kind of an early indicator that your vagus nerve isn't actually, that it needs to be toned a bit.
Yes, exactly. Also, slow bowel movement.
Constipation. Yes.
Yeah, because it enervates the peristalsis, like the migrating motor complex is triggered by the vagus nerve. When you stimulate the vagus nerve, it heals the leaky gut. It heals leaky gut. So when you have low vagal tone.
SIBO and yes, all of these things. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's I really want to, if people only take one thing from this talk, what I really want them to walk away with is that this is within your control. This is something that you can make a habit that you can focus on every day. It's kind of like, I used to run marathons. And before I started training for marathons, I think the longest I'd run was 5 miles. So every time you run farther, you know, like when you start running 18-mile runs, all of a sudden those 6-mile runs are like nothing. It's the same thing. The more you train your vagus nerve, the easier it is. Before I got on this call, I had a bizarrely stressful situation with work, but I was able to stay calm, so it didn't affect me. Even though everything is going haywire, I could be clear and calm and say like, oh, okay, well, I'm acknowledging that, and maybe we should try this. You know, it makes it so much easier to navigate life if you're able to stay calm and not react to every little thing.
I so agree with that. That's so true. It's so amazing to be able to get up in the morning and not behave like the house is burning down. That's kind of how it feels, doesn't it? And when things, inevitable adult stresses that do go wrong, you know, that this, you know, it's inevitable. Things are going to be, there's going to be triggers during the day. To be able to have that piece of like, not going immediately into the emotional response, but be able to stay rational and kind of keep that frontal cortex online so that we can actually respond to the situation. And that's what we actually need to do. These situations is usually where we need to be more calm and have clarity, use our rational brain. But it's an imbalanced vagus nerve means that we're going to be much more likely to be triggered by that emotional amygdala response, right?
Well, and anxiety, one person was talking about, I read somewhere that anxiety is like having too many options and not knowing which one to choose. And then the minute that you kind of step into one, the other options fade away. And so you feel calm. Like my children always, they have apprehension about starting their homework, like anxiety, like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do it. And I've realized that it's just, I use essential oils to calm them and say, let's just take that first step. The minute they start, they're fine. It's just, or like people who get really nervous before the sporting event or before the race, but once they start moving, they're okay. It's really interesting. And I think that has to do with just kind of calming your system and saying it's okay. It might not go perfectly. I'm okay if things go wrong. I'm just going to do my best and step into this.
Yes.
You know?
And I think the more that you condition that vagal tone by those the daily lifestyle, clean up your environment, get checked if there's mold, if there's anything that could be toxifying or infections, but also get into that daily conditioning. And it's sort of that, you know, that well-trodden pathway which changes the neural pathways, and you will change the epigenetic expression of how we're responding to the stress response when we've got that conditioned in. So
exactly.
I wanted to ask you just one more thing about a little bit more about natural remedies and maybe a little bit more about essential oil solutions, which I'll get to in a second. But I just wanted to, for people who have trauma, who have emotional trauma from childhood, who are working, and you can add to this as well. Vagus nerve stimulation is really, it's one of the foundation steps to help people help resolve trauma, because it, when you are needing to face up to things, or not facing up to things in that way, but having to resolve things and be able to face things without going into trauma, getting into that, practicing this vagal state, it is what gives you that sense of groundedness and safety and connection with self. It's part of what will ground and create the sense of safety so that you feel safe enough to maybe look at things and actually process them and release them and be able to be okay with them. So this is just so that people are aware, it's a foundational step one of sort of conditioning the body to enable people to resolve the traumas from the past, or if they do need to sort of work through things. So this is why it's a fundamentally important part of this summit as well, where we're dealing with people who are sort of working through trauma of things that may have happened as well, whether it may be a PTSD type trauma or attachment and developmental trauma, which is early life stress, and we differentiate between those two as well. You can add anything you'd like to on that as well.
Well, no, and it's interesting. So I went through a very significant trauma 19 months ago. My 12-year-old son was killed in a car accident, and two of his close friends were also killed. And it was horrific. But as someone said to me, you had problems before you had this problem. So I also had like childhood stuff. And I think what happened is, the dam burst because I just couldn't carry all of that. And one of the things that I observed is that we really don't have good tools to kind of process our really hard emotions, our anger, our fear, our grief, our shame. And so a lot of what we do, what I was very good at was disassociating. I would just achieve, or I would over-exercise or all of these things so that I didn't need to feel. You know, other ways to disassociate are social media or television or alcohol or drugs. We almost run from our pain because we don't know how to lean into our pain. And I realized that that was not sustainable. And so I had to figure out a way to lean into it. But it was a little bit like, it always felt like drinking from a fire hose. Like it was just so much, it was overwhelming. So what I realized I had to do was kind of microdose it. Like just almost like, you know, you the soda can or the seltzer bottle is going to explode. So you just kind of gently release a little pressure at the time so that it doesn't explode. And the strategy that I used for doing that was really integral with essential oils. So I would calm my nervous system. I have a blend of clove and lime. It's like 75% lime, 25% clove that I put behind the earlobe on the mastoid bone because that's where the vagus nerve is the most accessible to the surface. And that would kind of calm me enough that I could be rational and slightly discerning and decide like, all right, what am I going to do, you know, to release this? Another thing that was really helpful, rose essential oil. There's a lot of research on the fear response. So our sense of smell is the only of one of our five senses that goes directly to the amygdala. The other five senses are routed through part of our brain called our thalamus first. And that's believed because scent was such an important part of our safety, right? We could smell predator odor or fire. We could also smell food to keep us alive. And there's a researcher out of Seattle, her name's Linda Buck, and she did a lot of research on the olfactory channel and predator odor, and she really isolated certain receptors. And then she took it a step further and thought, what will cancel out this receptor? Like what, if someone is in kind of that fear state, what will turn it off? And it turned out it was rose oil. So that whole idea of stopping and smelling the roses or just smelling rose oil or putting it over your heart. So I have to say, like, one of the best things, if you're feeling flooded and overwhelmed, like for me, emotions felt like, it really felt like I was in a tidal wave. Like it just felt like so much that I almost felt like I was drowning. And just smelling rose oil or applying it over the heart, that went from like a fire hose to an eyedropper. It really allowed me to kind of micromanage, like, okay, I can take in this much now. And another trick, our colleague Titus Chu talks about stimulating the frontal lobe, which is just right behind your forehead, and your olfactory nerve, your sense of smell, goes directly there. And it's interesting, usually the right side of the brain helps to control the left side of the body, but that's not the case with your nostrils. So, for example, your right nostril goes directly to your right frontal lobe and your left nostril to your left frontal lobe. And your different sides of your brain, the different hemispheres, do different things. So what he was saying is anxiety is often the overactivization of the right frontal lobe. And so what you need to do to kind of balance that and calm the anxiety is to activate the left frontal lobe. And the easiest way to do that is to smell anything. It could be lavender, essential oils and citrus roots are in the peel. You can have a tangerine and just like open it and smell the peel. You don't need to invest in anything, but just smelling like two or three times through that left nostril kind of activates the left frontal lobe, brings you into balance so you feel balanced immediately. So I think essential oils are really good ways to kind of microdose the wave of emotion so that you don't need to deal with all of your shame or all of your grief or all of your fear in that one moment. You know, and then you have to almost surrender to it and say like, okay, I'm just going to feel sad right now. Yoga, anything that moved helped me feel like I was moving it. Sometimes I would literally just put on the shower and cry hysterically. You know,
yes.
I got that from Mork and Mindy. She was like, you know, if you're crying in the shower, no one notices if it's water or tears. But just really letting yourself release it so that it has a way to kind of leave you and doesn't stay with you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's fantastic. So one other point that I'll just, for the people who are the kind of the vagus nerve aficionados who might be listening, there is this part of the vagus nerve called the dorsal part. Everything we've talked about stimulates the ventral side, which is the good side. It's that's what we're the nerve of compassion. Everything we've talked about is ventral, because there is this. Don't worry about it if you don't know about it and you're listening. That if you stimulate the dorsal part of the vagus nerve, that's the freeze response, and it's when people just shut down, right? And we do have Stephen Porges on the summit, so he'll probably be covering that. But so everything we've talked about, we were talking about stimulating the ventral nerve. One other tip, I was in two minds whether to share it, but one other tip that I'll share, and then I'm going to hand over for you for the final comment, Jody. I've been researching vagus nerve for years, and I was looking for electrical vagus nerve stimulators that were not thousands and thousands of dollars, or weren't so cheap with no research that they didn't work. And I did find one, and I have zero financial connection with this company, but there is one that I use, and it's called Modius Health, modiushealth.com. And it's quite amazing, because the way that it works is that you put this band on your head, and it actually you put two sticky points behind the ears, and you connect the connectors to the points behind the ears. It connects brilliantly with any smartphone, and you then it's an hour a day, and it actually stimulates the vestibular nerve here, which in turn stimulates the vagus nerve. So if people do go to that website, I have no financial connection to it, if people do go there, you'll see it's being sold as either a slimming device or that it's a sleep device. The vagus nerve does so many different things. They had to pick something to market it as. So one of the things that happens if you are stressed, you you have the cortisol response going on, and that stimulates blood sugar to rise, then you get insulin, and that's a fat storage hormone, essentially. So that's why vagus nerve stimulation can cause people to lose weight if the underlying cause was this stress response. So that's why they're marketing it that way. But I have been using it for much more, for anxiety, for helping sleep. It changed my reaction. I had all these reactions to supplements, they all went away. I thought I couldn't sort of do this without saying somewhere in one of the interviews that that's a device. I had no guarantees. It's just something that I found, and it's reasonably priced. It's not thousands of dollars, and there's tons of research if you go onto the website of the link with stimulating the vestibular nerve, which is right behind the ears, electrically, which in turn stimulates the vagus nerve. So that aside,
how much is that one?
It's in the US, it's about $500.
Yeah, and then the other one that you introduced me to, the tuning fork, the sonic slider, that they can just Google. And I've actually been combining essential oils with this. It's just you just hit it against your hand, and then you can rub it on your vagus nerve. And I think that's really powerful too. And that's $75. So if people are budget conscious.
Well, we talk about sound therapy, and we have Eileen McCusick, the brilliant.
Oh, you do? Oh, she's, yeah.
We got her on the summit as well. Oh, sound therapy, don't get me started. So, so Jody, just any final words of wisdom from all your experience with this and your very direct experience that you had recently. Any other just final words you have for the audience? Anything you'd like to just, words of final wisdom, which will you connect with?
I just really want to empower you that there are so many affordable, even just starting your day and you're ending your day with gratitude, just thinking about three things. And it could be something super easy, like, I'm really grateful that the sun is shining today. It can be the easiest thing. That can help activate your vagus nerve, and that gives you so much power. It's almost like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. She had the power to go home at any time. You really have the power to control your nervous system, which has a really big impact on your health.
Wonderful. And Jody, I think you're a walking example of what you could call post-traumatic growth, truly. So thank you so much. Yeah, it was awesome to have you, and I appreciate you sharing your own experience with that too. So thanks, everybody. Thank you, Jody. And take care for now, everyone. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you.